Alrighty then. Esther, let me know when we're ready to play. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun, meeting for the administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. It is approximately 10 after 11 on Wednesday, January 15th. I don't have any opening comments for the admin portion of the meeting. Commissioner?
Nor do I.
Commissioner?
Nope.
Okay, I move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, discussion matters with the commission. I don't see Mr. Diller in the audience, so we'll skip down to Mr. Culk, Mark Conference 2016. Just get Randy and Julie's thoughts about. So I was down to Mark this weekend. Everything went good. We're January 1st through the 4th is the June conference in Indianapolis. And then next winter, it'll be
July. June, you mean?
June, yeah.
Oh, June.
Did I say July?
I thought you said January, but I could have heard you on 1st through 4th.
1st through 4th of June in Indianapolis, so there'll be information coming about that. We threw out some topics of discussion. If you want to help out, if you have any particular topics that you want to do, let me know and I'll pass them to Caroline. If you want to help out and do like I did that one, call before you dig board last year. Then next winter, it'll be same time, January time frame, back down in Austin. And then the next summer, we're back first week of June in Milwaukee. Then the next winter, we're back in Texas. But then the June of 2016 is when, unless something changes with my status, we'll have been hosting it in Bismarck. And so if it's okay with you two, I would like to have John help me do that and use some of Daryl's expertise to do that. That seems reasonable, I guess, but I want to double check with you two.
It does, and I just would throw out there that with our booming economy, you know, more than what the other states are probably having to do, and also most other states probably would host it in the city with a larger number of large facilities. And so I just think we really have to book things early. Just even my time with the telco association, you know, 3-4 years out on getting some of these facilities is the norm. And so 2016 seems so far away, but it's not.
Have you considered doing it in Medora and
I've
having flights in and out of Dickinson?
It's open to anything. We talked about Medora. We talked Dickinson. We talked Fargo, quite honestly.
Fargo?
It's
nothing against Bismarck. I mean, obviously you could do it here, great, but it's kind of fun to think about, you know, where else. It's a great opportunity to highlight some of the places in North Dakota that people don't typically see or hear about. Or, yeah.
Well, I think if you don't mind,
I'm
not against Medora at all. The challenge we ran into is we're going to need 400 hotel rooms.
Is that how big Mark is, 400?
That's what it was in Indianapolis, or in Arkansas. It's become quite big.
Well, and Fargo would be fun, too. You could do a Red Hawks game if you had some evening time for an activity. Do you need you need some family-type right?
Yeah, when Commissioner Wefold was here, they hosted a Mark, and I understand they did in Bismarck, and you guys jump in, but it was the Capitol tour, the boat tour. I thought about Bismarck in 2016. The Heritage Center is open, the brand-new expansion, so we could maybe even do the day conference at the Heritage Center and then find 400 rooms. I think the challenge is going to be to find 400 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now with the new expansion. So I wasn't here then.
Oh. We all had to go inside to the hallway because it's not.
It might be interesting to get a few bids.
Hmm.
You know, send
Absolutely.
Out some, here's the specs to the Fargo CVB, send it to Dickinson Medora, send it to Bismarck and see what folks come up with in terms of, you know, because I think they'll even put together your outline for you.
No, I'm open to all that. I just want to see what your thoughts were. And there's pros and cons to everything. And getting our own staff to Bismarck would be easy, but we could also get them to Fargo. I mean, it's just, if you don't mind, we'll get Daryl and John on this to get us some quotes and costs.
I would also say that this would be a great thing for the new public affairs person to be involved in. You know, special events like this, I think, will be a big natural and a good thing for them to, you know, help spearhead.
The way it'll play out is we'll get like seed money after like 18 months from now, so more than that, a year from now. So it's, we are over 2 years away, but I just finding 400 rooms.
But Randy's right, yeah. Getting it, picking a location and kind of getting that ball rolling early is really smart.
Yeah. But I thought of, you know, we'd like to give them a, when I was down in Meridian, there was 10 other commissioners there, and no other commissioner had seen strip mining before. And the Liberty Mine was just opening, so they had a mock-up of it. But, you know, we could take them out to the mines and show them strip mining, get them to an oil site. And so there's advantages of being in Dickinson because you're closer to all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, okay. So if there's other things you think for tours we would do, let me know, too. Okay, fair enough. That's all I got. Mike, you're back now? All right, Mr. Diller, we'll jump back up. Public input.
Public input. This came up because I've been working with the AARP and the MDU rate case as far as rate design is concerned, and so I wanted to review their I think it was about a 5-page letter that they had filed with the commission, laying out some of their rate design concerns. I couldn't find it, and so which prompted me to ask some more questions, and I found out that we don't docket those kinds of things, that we put them in the so-called red jacket. And that led me to learn that there was another letter in there from a concerned citizen that I'd never seen before. Typically, I guess the customer inputs on these things, they're collected and they're put in the red jacket and often never seen by anyone. And so that raised some concerns with me. I think that, if a customer or an organization is going to spend the time to an effort to write something that they think we should see and think about, then I think it should be included in the regular official file myself. Now, the attorneys may feel differently. Alana's not here, but in any event, I've told John that I want those things circulated to me so that at least somebody is, yeah, I thought maybe Steve would come, at least somebody's looking at it. So I've fixed it for myself, and I basically put it on the agenda for commissioners. You may want to see what the public is writing to you as well. So
I tell you, Mike, I don't think you're pointing out anything new, but it's I'll give you an example of what I'd do with those is that they can't be part of the record, but I always review them before the hearings and then ask questions sometimes. So I think there's always a question about being part of the record, but I don't think that what you're doing is a good idea. And if Randy or Julie and I want to look at them, I think that's fine. But Ryan will probably jump in. They can't be part of the record, but we should make an effort to see them, I think. It's only fair. We should see everything in the public input file. We had Scott at one time trying to give us like quarterly updates on public input on telephone, on this, on that, and it just kind of never really fully materialized. But that'd be something more than just even these. We should get, I think, some kind of quarterly update from public affairs on what the trending calls they're getting on for are.
Well, some of this might be helped with recreation of a consumer affairs portfolio, which we're looking at doing. And we'll probably initiate after the new public affairs person is hired. So then there's some deliberate examination of these documents going on a regular basis. But aside from that, I guess I'd be interested in a process that got them in front of our eyes naturally when they arrived in the office. So I don't know why that, if there's some reason that can't happen or.
I think, quite honestly, Julie, there was a time when Commissioner Wiefald was here, there was a better flow of customer input stuff to Susan and the other commissioners. And then changes in commissioners, the previous commissioners, they cut that flow out. So we'd go see it individually. I remember a meeting, if we want it, we'd go get it. So it's something that we want it, they can do it. It's just one of those things that shifted.
I want to interject a couple of comments here. Number one is that public input is something that is archived with the case when the case is closed and goes to archives. So at some point, we need to be capturing that public input anyway.
Capturing it, you mean electronically?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back to sending it downstairs to have it scanned at an exorbitant price. It just doesn't make any sense. So we're going electronic for that type of archive. So whatever we do, we should do it in a manner that has the most benefit overall and will get you the information up front. Because we're going to wind up doing this anyway. Why not do it up front so it can be disseminated timely to the commissioners and whoever else needs it on staff?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any problem with that from us. Just Ryan, just keep the separation of church and state.
Until Mike brought it up, I was aware of these public input files on certain cases, like, you know, a wind farm, I'd see it, been there was a bunch. But I didn't necessarily realize that this is where those letters went, because sometimes I get letters and from consumers. And so I guess I assumed that we were seeing them and that I didn't realize that there was such a red jacket out there where a lot of this stuff was going. So I'm very glad to know that, because I definitely want to see what people are taking the time to write and send to us in terms of their concerns or problems or whatever.
Well, and also the, you know, whether it be email or whether it be phone calls, all that should be captured.
Well, and that's the concern that, you know, as we capture the input, but then the discussion that was had 2 years ago was, what do we do with it? You know, if we're getting a trend in calls up from telephone complaints, then we should figure out what it's about and then go do something on it. And we, Daryl, we do that annual report, right? But we should do quarterly, and it's where, you know, just like we do PI meetings, we should have the public person come in and say, this last month I received 48 phone calls, 40 of them were for MDU because they're upset about the rate case, 2 are from electricity disruptions, because we have all that stuff.
Yep.
You just aren't briefing us on it.
I'd like to make just one comment, because I've been doing it now for about a month, and I'll tell you there are a lot of consumer calls that come in, like I said, I've never done it before as extensively as I've done now, and there's some really interesting issues that come forward. And I think it's a good point when you start looking at the number that come in and what those issues are relevant to the commissioner's understanding and should be looked at. I mean, you know, I talked to Randy about some of the railroad issues in movement of grain, which we've been getting a lot of calls on, and some of it we really don't have jurisdictional issue on, but it's still issues that I think that the commission should be.
Are you loading all those in the database? Because that was a problem we had a couple of years ago.
I'm working on that, yes.
If, to pick on Jerry, she gets a call at the front desk and handles a complaint about something. She needs to go into the system and log it in so we capture that complaint. And then the letters that come in, like Mike says, it's a great point you bring up. We just got to get it to us. Because I guess that's something we never talked about, the three of us.
I think the other thing is that there needs to be a central point, because I don't know if I get all those letters either, because the ones I do get, I try to forward on to the commissioners. So I'm kind of curious of where some of these letters are. They get red jacketed and how they come in.
Conceptually, how should it work? A letter comes in, whoever opens the mail opens it up. If it's addressed to a commissioner, then it goes to the commissioner. And what I would do, if it says Commissioner Culkin, it's a complaint about grain elevators, I would bring it back to Scott. And he would put it in there somewhere. And then so to get it from him to what you guys are saying, how would that next step be?
We're just going to have to do a better job of disseminating that electronic document once he's done it.
Okay, but Scott would give it to, or Scott's successor, to who, you? No.
No, it would go in the system, and then that would be linked into our case management.
John.
So you could see it right from the case. If you look at the case, one of the things you'd
be able
to see.
No, but John doesn't put it in the system. If it's a phone call, you can manually type it in. And that should be the person taking the phone call.
Right.
Okay, so that's in the system.
That's in the system. The letters currently aren't, but they should be.
Okay, and then though that would be that goes to John then? Or
it could go to John, or it could go to whoever's in the consumer affairs position.
All right.
Either way.
In the interim, we should give them to John, and that's something
yep.
Julie can work out with. That.
And we'll figure out how to make that happen.
Consumer affairs portfolio.
But that has to be part of the case, because we're going to, in the end, I need that in order to be able to archive the stuff. So we have to capture it one way or the other.
Okay.
Today, I want to, oh, go ahead, Patrick.
Well, this is, I think, what we're running into are situations in this transition from hard copy everything to electronic. And in the past, you know, when everything came in hard copy, the commissioners just knew that if they wanted to find out the latest information they have for a case, they'd go over to the Red Jacket, which is the case, official case file, in the vault. And so now we have, we're changing.
To do it.
We're changing now. And I think that there needs to be some way, if somebody wants to know on a case like a Ray case, everything that we have, there has to be some way of a commissioner being able to find out what we have, or any staff person.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think as far as public input versus Red Jacket stuff, I used to say everything we get in about a case should go in a Red Jacket. But there's some legal concerns about that. And I think what Alana would say is you can create informal case files, which are associated with a formal case. And she might say that's where the public input should go. But you still have to have a way of knowing when you go in to look and see what's here concerning a specific case. You have to know, you have to be able to see everything from one location.
That is correct.
And somehow
just Scott or somebody just filing, because they won't know whether it's informal or formal. Or
well, even if we do that, we're going to miss all of the telephone calls and all of the email.
Yep. Yep. Somehow it has to be all brought together.
Yep.
We won't miss anything if it's all
electronic.
Electronic. It'll all be in one same spot. But then the new version
it'll fit right in.
Will hopefully, I would envision a file that has public input so that it isn't like the current docketing where you've got 39 different letters and you have no idea if it's a public letter or if it's a letter from an attorney or whatever. It's like, here's where the public input file goes, and then you can go there and see everything.
Correct. And I was looking at that from the microfilm side.
John, if you're listening, come in, please.
No, we were looking at that this week, Alana and I and John and several others, Shelley. We were looking at our paper files versus what our electronic are so that we can get to microfilming straight from our electronic files. And that is one of the things that we'd already identified as being missing. And so we're already in the process trying to figure out how we make that work electronically. And right now I'm leaning toward all of it going into the consumer application so that you get emails, phone calls, and the paper. And then from there, if you go into a case and you want to see public input, you click the button and it brings up all of the stuff that's gone into our consumer complaint system.
But do we not have to distinguish always between the public input that was on the record as opposed to the public input that just showed up in the mail? Because what just shows up in the mail, the other side does not have a chance to argue against.
That is true. I don't know what the legal... Right. That's a,
I don't believe that there is a distinction between the public input that's at a public input hearing and the public input that comes in the mail. Insofar as neither one of them are actually, you know, the evidentiary that you're going to be basing the decision off of, because there's not going to be any cross-examination. And so from a legal perspective, to me, I guess it doesn't matter whether that's testimony that's offered at the public hearing or whether that's a letter to you guys 2 weeks before the public hearing. As long as there's some sort of distinction that we can segregate the public input from the actual evidence that's being put forward on the record for you guys to base the decision.
Say it again, Ryan, because I may be misunderstood, though. But if Joe Blow comes to a hearing and he says, this is what's happening on my property, I thought I could base a decision on that because it was at the hearing, he's there submitting himself to us, and the company's got a chance to maybe not cross-examine him but counter his comments.
That's sworn testimony.
Sure it is. They raise their hand and take the oath when those people come at a hearing.
I'm talking like a hearing where the different – what I understood it was different was where, okay, if I get a letter in the mail that says this is wrong, okay, that's a letter that shows up in the mail, and that's one thing I can read about it, but it's not something to base a decision on. If that person would come to the hearing and say the same thing under oath, it's something I can base a decision on. So to say they're both the same, I don't think is right.
Yeah, if they're under oath, then that would be different.
But that's what we do under public input for our hearings, is they're under oath.
Right.
Get the MDU informal or the public hearings did those people take?
No.
Okay.
Okay, if you're talking an MDU rate case, I see that's different than a public input during a hearing.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I see.
Yeah, yeah, yes, and it would be.
Okay. I think he's getting confused because you're saying public input, and he's thinking public input sessions, and he's thinking just the time when the public comes forward during a hearing. And
so public input can be bifurcated a lot of different ways.
You got but wouldn't the hearing record be the hearing record?
Yes.
I mean, that's the hearing record. They aren't really submitting letters and all of that, and if they did, then that would be, you know, part of the hearing record, which is a tape. And
agreed. I just wanted to clarify.
So I think that there would be a natural distinction.
There'd be a transcript, depending.
A transcript, right.
Yeah. So the stuff that is taken under oath at the hearing, under this scenario, would not be public input. It would be part of the transcript record.
So then how do you envision it playing out? We have a file, and we think we've gone through all the information that we have. And if that company submits something, it's going to be docketed, and we're going to each get a copy of it, and we'll know there's something new when we read it. But if they just call or send a letter in and you do something electronically, we need to be made aware of that there's something new in there, or else we think we've read that, and you don't go back and read the whole file every single time.
Correct. Well, and currently part of the issue is we're set up very, don't take this wrong, legalistically, in that if it is a party to the case and it is part of the record, we handle it very well. It's some of the other things that we aren't handling as well as we should, and that's where we need to make some fixes. Yep.
Let's do this. Why don't we put this on the agenda for discussion next meeting, too? And you guys do whatever you're going to do to clarify some of this and give us an update. Yep. Talk with Alon. I know we can have the same. Because it's a great point you bring up, Mike, and I think that we need to do something with this customer data for a lot of different reasons.
I took care of it for myself.
Yep. So no, but it's good.
Steve, I think Steve should probably put it under his name.
Yeah, like, I'll do that.
I'm going to get copies.
No, but it's a lot much broader discussion about it what is. To do with this because it's.
Mike was just very, very timely because we'd run into the same problem from a different direction.
Sure. Okay. Same thing for Jim upstairs. It could be a coal complaint that you get it and we need to make sure we see it.
Yeah. I don't want anybody thinking that the letters are being unread today. They are being read absolutely. And distributed, et cetera, et cetera. This is just a discussion of improving the system where it's distributed more systematically to everybody and tracked electronically and we have notifications and that sort of thing.
Would you guys, I mean, going forward a little bit, I mean, I would like to see trends in the phone calls too, do something with the data. I mean, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Where we keep track of these things at some point and we just know if we're having more phone calls from MDU about something so then we can see if we got problems.
I think your quarterly report is a good idea. We could add that to,
or even semi-annual, just something to have a marker to see if we're trending up or down or something. That's
our. Say that was at one point being done. So
yeah, things just change and personalities change. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Diller?
No, thank you.
All right.
Do you want to move this down to scheduling? Then, you want a work session? Is that?
No, let's just have him add it to the same discussion next week. Just to have them to give us an update where we're at. I don't think we need to do a work session on it. I forgot one thing for the MARC conference. So the way that the money lays out, I can bring with two staff members to Indianapolis that are paid for, so I'd like to have Daryl and John come with in June. And in the following June of 2015, MARC will pay for five staff members. So if there's three more staff members that want to help out, they could, you know, that's fine, too. We'll just have to build on that. So you bring five staff to the 2015 conference so they're not cold when they run the conference up here.
Good.
So if there's three other members that want to help out and they work for you, talk to you, and we'll move it up. So Daryl, put down June 1st to the 4th. Okay.
You may want to consider, I mean, I'm not saying Daryl shouldn't, but he may want to
consider
the new person instead of Daryl.
I agree.
So
probably if they're in, so that might work by June, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alrighty, Climate Regulation Symposium update. Mr. Crispin. Did we talk it through enough?
I can't think of anything else that we need to really go over.
Maybe the beans.
We need to go over the format and and you know how the day is going to unfold, I think. So, Sarah, did you make copies of that little setup we drafted? Okay, that'd be good, just so they can see. So what Sarah and I have discussed is, we'll go over the room setup in a sec, but what we discussed is, you know, obviously we'll do the welcome and introductions at the beginning, each of us, and then should we maybe take turns introducing the different speakers, or how we can talk about how we want to do that, but each maybe we can take turns introducing Sean, the NERC guy, and the clean coal person. And so we give a little background on these people and kick off that session. So each one of us can do that one time. And what we talked about was that the person would give their presentation maybe 20, 25 minutes, and then the three of us would ask questions. And then any other time that exists in that block, so we'd change topics promptly at the time that the next one is scheduled to begin. Then, but if there's time in between that... No, that isn't. That's right.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Then we would invite the members of the public to ask questions if there's any time for that. Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
We'll have a microphone.
Do all the presenters know that when they're in a 45-minute block that we're expecting them to go for 20 or 25 minutes? Or,
mm-hmm. Well, the ones we've talked to do.
If they have 45 minutes worth of material, I'd have a hard time cutting them off because we want to already start asking questions when we're done.
I would anticipate not cutting them off. You know, if they're still talking, then we don't do questions. But one of you probably needs to talk to this Charles McConnell because I have not.
I got dinner with him the night before.
You might want to talk to him before that because he's probably doing his presentation, you know, now.
Okay.
And if he wants to use PowerPoint, he should get that to Sarah by Friday or early next week so we can get copies and all that jazz.
Did you give this schedule to the Lake Night Council so they know? Because they're the ones that are talking to him most of the time.
Well, go ahead. I have not,
okay.
But you all sure right. Can. I'm kind of – you got that guy, so I think you go ahead and take care of –
I thought he was in the morning, quite honestly, when we talked before.
We've talked to John Mora and the EPA fellow, and we've – Sarah's been communicating with the utility companies. Randy, I don't know if you've talked to Dave Glott recently. You might want to touch base with him. And if he has PowerPoint, you should get it to us ahead of time. And then...
I do think, just a question, Julie, because when I talked with him before, and we talked before, Charles was going to go after the EPA guys. So you'd have the EPA guys say the rules, and then Charles say the technology, and then the public comment. So, I don't know. It's kind of late to be changing stuff, but if it hasn't gone out...
It's out.
Okay, I thought he had
and
got it.
And this 10.
We sent it. Okay.
Well, I mean, he should have gotten a copy of this if do you have Charles on your email, Sarah? I haven't communicated with him at all, but
I believe I sent him a copy of the agenda. Yeah. I can double
right,
check to make that
you.
For sure.
Okay. I don't remember that iteration of this, so sorry. Okay, so let's see. If they go long, then we just have less time for questions or no time for questions if that's the case.
Well, I think that I'll have to play referee though. If at 9:10 o'clock we're going to have to shut down Sean's discussion and start, otherwise we'll never get through it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's what I would.
He knows he's going to go 20 minutes.
No, but for all the discussion, I mean, we're just
right.
going to have to tunk tunk tunk.
Yep. We'll have to be somewhat disciplined.
Yep. Okay. And I think when we get into the public comment time, I'll tell you what has worked in... sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't worked, but what we tried to do in legislative hearings when there was big crowds there is see how many people want to talk. And if there's 20 that want to talk in an hour, then they know they only have a few minutes each. And if there's three that want to talk, they know they have 20 minutes each. And
we talked
about... But we need to be a little bit fair, not just let one or two people come up and take all the time.
Yeah.
And then no one else gets a chance.
The idea on the public comment was to have them sign in when they come, if they think they want to, and then again later if they've changed their mind and want to, so we have a sense of how many people from the public plan to speak, and then can that'll help manage that issue. And then, Brian, I don't know if you're aware or not that Congressman Kramer...
I saw that email.
...had requested. So he's going to go right at the end of the utility roundtable, sort of kicking off the public comment for 10 minutes. Okay. And then the public comment will talk after, we'll start after that. And then depending on how you guys feel about it, but really for the public comment, my sense is that the main people who need to be there is the three of us. All these other presenters, and they don't necessarily need to stay, so other folks can leave and go have lunch. The three of us, if there's a bunch of public comment, more than an hour, I'd be willing personally to stay till 1 and have a shorter break, and then sort of tell people, you know, at 1 o'clock we need to have a short break for lunch and get back in time to start again at 1:30.
Sounds good.
So that gives a little bit additional time for public comment. And then I think we need to be fair in managing the public comment so that a variety of opinions are allowed to be expressed and it isn't all one side that speaks first and there isn't time for any opposing views. So I think we'll have to manage that as well.
I can do that.
Okay.
I was wondering if maybe, you know, I'll just say two words and then let you and Julie, Randy and Julie talk, and then what we could do is I could introduce the EPA guy and then just take a little bit more time to reinforce what you just said. Like, here's the schedule. We got to keep on it. And then, you know, then we could go to when the EPA person is done. And then I guess here's what I was thinking. I could quarterback the morning just for keeping it on schedule. And then in the afternoon, if, you know, you could introduce the NERC guy. Okay. Randy, you could introduce the clean coal guy. And then Julie, you could introduce Dave Glatt. But just, I think the morning is where we'll probably have the most challenges keeping people stewarded on time, if that's okay.
I think you're right.
It works for me.
And I'll then, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think
If I miss some of the comments, you can, actually what I'll do, let's start off with, Julie, why don't you open it up? You could open up the comments. You could start out, thank you all for coming and all that. And then, Randy, you go next, and I'll go third, and I'll go right into the running it. So I don't need to talk and then come back and talk.
All right.
Sound reasonable?
Okay.
Perfect.
Should we change the order then?
No, I think we can figure that out.
Yeah. Okay, so we're okay with...
Although I would like my name bolded in color too, sir.
Starred.
It is bold.
All right, thank you.
larger font, Brian. okay, then I think that... There isn't anything additional to talk about in terms of the agenda. We do have bios for all these people, I believe, right, Sarah?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And then, but Jen, if you can just look at the potential layout, how we kind of designed this. So
where's the stage? Right here, S?
S. Yeah, that'll be the screen, actually, for the PowerPoint.
The screen is at in the middle of the stage, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And
then we talked about having us over here on the right, a podium up here for the presenters, so they're kind of ahead of speaking to the audience, speaking to us, and have the screen kind of at their side and behind them a bit. And then that bank of tables to the left there is just for the utility round table. I don't necessarily think those utility members need to be there the whole time, but if you guys want them to be sitting there the whole time, they could be. We could have reserved places for them in the audience. They could come up for their round table and they could go back. Or if you want to have them sitting there the whole time, I guess that's still, you know, very much up for input.
Yeah, I don't know. I think...
And I don't necessarily know that... They have a role, any specific role to play that's different than the audience during the rest
of the
agenda?
No, I think you got a good idea. Put the table there, and then I would just say in the beginning we'll have our presentations, and then after the EPA presentation, we'd like to invite the investor owners up to the table.
Yep.
And then after the table, then they'll say go home. Otherwise, they're sitting there, and the public will be commenting, and it gets kind of awkward.
It might be to them.
Yeah, that's what happened before. I would offer a happy to glad change.
Perfect.
Where the commissioners are at, why don't we put that at a 45-degree angle to the right, to the stage, so whichever one of us in the end is not looking like this instead of if you angle it, then you're looking at the people.
True, yeah.
So, and then you can still,
Will we have a hard time seeing the screen?
Maybe a little bit, but I'd prefer to face the audience a little bit and the screen a little bit.
Okay, sounds fine. Yep.
Are we looking at where it says reserved for those tables or those chairs?
Those are chairs.
Okay.
Chairs, and then the media would be in the back. Well, we have a little registration place where people will come in and sign. I think we want to collect names and emails for everybody who attends.
If we turn that table, though, I like your idea as far as facing the crowd more.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be okay to really twist around to see the screen sometimes, but if the presenters are going to be standing up here by the screen the whole time, we are always, if we have the presenters almost opposite the crowd, we're going to have our back to the crowd anyway. Just the table will be that way. We'll just be turned like this.
Yeah.
So if we want to face the crowd more than the screen, we need to move the presenter over here by the crowd.
I think it's like the presenter, when you're doing the presenter for the PowerPoint, it's nice to have them where they're at. When you get the public input, it's nice to move the public input back closer to the crowd.
Well, the public, see this little dot in the middle? That's the mic. That's where the public will be.
Beautiful.
Oh, what's the presenter thing for?
That's just for presenters.
Can't they present from that one?
Well, then they've got their back to the crowd that they're talking to. I mean, the presenters are giving a well. That's the debate, I guess. I think they're talking to the audience too.
Whatever
if I was one of them, I wouldn't want to have my back to the crowd necessarily that whole time, and it feels like very us-oriented. Then, like we're the only, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right having like we're the only audience.
If you aren't going to have the IOU sitting at the table the entire time, then you could put the presenter over there, and that would take care of your problem.
Julie, so whatever you decide is fine.
They'd be sitting then?
Either that or you could put a split in there and put the podium in there. Split the tables and put a podium in.
I don't know. I think it's, if I was a presenter, I'd want to be up front, but. So you don't like being,
It's just a happy to glad. Whatever you decide is fine. I don't care.
Well, I mean, it does.
I think it's nice for us to face
the flavor of the feel.
I think it's nice for us to face the crowd because then they think. It'll look a good picture, too.
But does that help any when the crowd's out here, so we're facing them, but the presenter's up there, so for three-quarters of the thing, we're sitting like this?
That's okay. But then when we face the public, we're already... I don't care. Whatever. Whatever you decide, Jules. I'll let you get a game-time decision on that.
Yeah,
well,
I think
we'll
when we're
up.
Setting it up,
we
got to look at it and
it
see
too.
How
it's
feels,
not a big
too.
Deal.
Like,
it's like
turn
moving
it.
A table.
Okay.
Not a big deal.
Beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. So who's doing the registration table?
I don't know. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Sarah, do you want to do the registration table?
Or someone
greet
else.
And
sure.
Greet and ask people to sign in.
Yes, I can do that, or I can find someone more.
Well, actually, maybe someone else, because Sarah will probably be helping with the...
we'll need two, unless we're allowed to lock that one of the doors, but I don't think we are.
You can't lock the door.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so one on each side. Right.
Well,
there's opposite entrances. So.
Well, when we did the last symposium we had there, we only had one sign-in area, and that was over on the where we have it now.
But don't half the people come in and not sign in then?
Well, then you direct people over there. You know, you've got the sign, and that's what people are supposed to.
Well, let's just have two. It doesn't hurt.
I do know that we're
public input. People are not going to be inclined to come in a door. And then go all the way to the other side of the room and stand in line to write their name down. They're just going to go in and sit down.
Yeah. I think it's good to have both. We've got enough staff like to be involved in this sort of thing.
I can help
with
that, too. So it's...
We can get some charming people like Esther and Char. Too.
And Josh says he's charming, too. All right. So, Sarah, if you don't have enough people to help you, come let us know, okay?
Okay.
And then, Sarah, you'll help with getting we'll all be there, but just making sure the utility people, we talked about giving them their nameplate so that then when they're ready to sit down, they can just bring it and set it up wherever they want. we aren't going to set those all out ahead of time and stuff.
You having coffee, Daryl?
Yes.
Donuts?
No donuts.
Just coffee.
Just coffee.
All right, fair enough.
If the three of us wanted to provide donuts, we could, but, you know.
Okay.
The guests will be able to come and go as they please. We'll be pretty much stuck to our seats for 8 hours.
Yes, you're right. Well,
We need some of these kinds of chairs. Not the hard-backed ones. Yeah. You only want to sit in for a half hour or so.
Soft chairs.
I think there's some down there.
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
If not, they're just across the hall in one of the committee rooms. All the committee rooms have some good chairs. We just need to.
Good idea, Randy. And we may need to take 5 minutes to go to the bathroom. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it goes.
I think we can all filter out as need be.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And maybe we'll say that.
Say it in the beginning.
Yeah.
I think there's something that can
be. No, great work, everybody. This is awesome.
Cut to the men's room.
That's right.
And we aren't going to provide any sort of lunch. We'll just direct people to the cafeteria or whatever.
Okay.
Question is the cafeteria know this is going on, so they're prepared with more food?
They
need to know that.
They are aware. I have talked to them.
Good.
So is Sarah.
Some of the things that may happen last time, we had some good protesters that showed up. That's their right to do that. And just don't let it bother us. They stayed outside. They minded their own business.
They sang?
Yeah.
Wrote a song. Yeah, that was good.
So, thank you, Jerry, for that note. Yeah. And then we'll figure out what to do with all this.
Do we do anything as far as parking for people that we're bringing in to present? Or have we notified them of where they can park or something like that?
Nope. I guess there's lots of visitor parking signs around the Capitol for visitors, so I guess I would just expect that they'd follow those. But
figure it out.
Yeah. Do you have a connection to reserve parking badges?
I don't know what the rules are on that, but we could contact facility management and see if there's some way
that we could get them
to line something up, you know. If
it's a nice idea.
Has anybody looked? Are there any like legislative committee meetings going on that day that we're expecting the Capitol to be kind of full? Or
no, I haven't looked. Nope.
Well, there's that one in Fargo. The one legislature told us about that they couldn't be there because there is one meeting on Fargo, but I can check and see if there's anything in the building.
Okay. Did you want to follow through with that, Randy, or not the parking? I don't know. I'm indifferent.
I'll ask Charlene to see if there's anything we can do for a couple of the people that we're bringing in, that if they need to park a rental car or something.
Okay.
So, Sarah, just to be sure, could you run through the list of who we've invited to, just in case we need to send our notice out to anybody else who might have been missed?
You mean all the parties in total that
we've invited? Yeah, the groups, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We invited, actually, there'll be six utilities speaking. There'll be the three IOUs and then the ones that have generation in the state, Great River Energy, Minn Kota, and then Basin. So those will be the utility speakers. We also sent an invite to all legislatures, all cities and counties and papers in the state. Got, you know, like an invite. And various coal people got invited.
And it's posted on our website, obviously.
Correct.
And
yes.
Now today we have a news release going out. But maybe like the local chamber, we should get in the state chamber, we should send something to them. We can do some of that. Maybe the Farm Bureau. I mean, I don't know that we've sent this out to that group. Do we have a group of. Do we have a group like that? Scott, have any distribution group to all the various. You know, government organizations, government chamber, business.
I don't think so, but okay. I can look. I don't recall that, Commissioner, but
Sarah, if you get it to Emily, she said she would send it out to her list, Emily
to
McKay.
To the press release? Or?
Yeah, the press release would be fine to send to Emily McKay.
I would
with
need
the agenda.
A copy.
Okay, I just sent that to Daryl, too. So.
Okay. I told her about it as well earlier.
But if you give her something easy to mail, she'll send it. She'll email it. All right.
Looks good. Thank you, everybody. I think it'll work out just great. You going to update that fancy board that we were looking at the other day?
Hope to. Daryl was going to look and see if he could find a copy of it.
All right. Okay, let's drop on down to scheduling. Mr. Lehan, Southwest Power Pool wants to come up and tell us why they're a great thing.
Okay, they suggest February 4th, 6th, 7th, or the week of the 10th.
How much time do they need?
I would give them a couple hours.
Okay, February 4th. It doesn't look good. What's the other ones, Jerry? The 4th?
The 6th.
6th.
7th.
7th.
Or the following the week of the 10th.
Okay, we just did something yesterday on the 6th. Pat, we need to get that out. We need to get that out in our calendars, though.
Well, I have one person that of the two that confirmed they could make it at that time at 10 o'clock on the 6th. You want it out no matter what?
We'll get it to us. Yeah, because otherwise we'll book something on it.
Okay. What time is that?
That's at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Well,
so we do the afternoon of the 6th, the 1.
Yeah, that works for me. Randy?
Yep.
Okay, let's go 1:30 to 3:30. That work for you, Jerry?
I was thinking about backing it up to 1 o'clock, though. Is it?
That's fine, I think, unless...
That works fine.
Did you say 2 hours or 4 hours?
Well, I'd give them... Put the whole afternoon on and try and give them out of here in time to catch the plane.
If we could do, let's say 1 to 3. It gets to be so long. If they think they have 4 hours, they'll use it.
Well, they'll be trying to catch that flight. Is it 4:30 when that flight leaves? So they'll be wanting out of here about 3, I would think.
Okay.
Unless they can't get tickets, and then they'll be leaving on a different flight, and they'll want to talk to them.
Well, we can always walk out the door. All right.
Well, or we can always extend it longer, too. But if they prepare for 2 hours, then I
can't imagine 2 hours not being enough for the first meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That's easy enough. All right. Me. All right. Daryl, we haven't still haven't finished Daryl, Ryan, and Agent Galleon for our mid-year reviews.
Right.
So the morning of the 7th, February 7th for Andy and Julie. This is still back to when we were talking to all the directors and special staff, if you will. We hadn't got to those three because our schedules kept changing.
I'm available after 10.
Okay. Randy?
I think I can.
Okay. 10 o'clock on the 7th. We'll give each of them 20 minutes.
Didn't we say 30?
Okay. 30 minutes.
We
always run long, so it's 10 o'clock.
We say 30, it ends up being 40.
Okay. All right, Mr. Fawn wants a special meeting, and him and I have already discussed this a little bit, and I have a recommendation. Our regular meeting is the 12th of February, but we've got this Mid-Continent interconnection agreement they want before the 90 days, so I told Patrick I was open to a meeting on February 7th, 14th at like 5:01, and it could just be a call-in meeting. All it would be just a quick vote on that one. We've done it before where 5 o'clock it expires. We could do it at 5:01, or we could try to schedule something the next week, but that next week is really, really busy. So we wouldn't have to be here. I'll be available to run the meeting from here if you guys are just available even by phone.
Tell me the time and date again. I caught the other stuff, but I missed the beginning.
Well, the 5 o'clock on the 14th is when the time frame expires, and so if no one requests a hearing, we can vote on it at 5:01. Correct, Patrick? So I was just saying I'm available that day. We could have just a quick meeting and just that one issue.
What is the issue?
It would be to approve the interconnection amendment between Mid-Continent and Consolidated. Okay. It's a procedural one. Usually this is approved without anything in 90 days, but they wanted it quicker than 90 days, so they requested this.
Oh, I see.
And so the time frame is really important for them. The sooner they get it, the sooner they can get working.
And even wait until Wednesday when we're here for a
formal? Because the special meeting is the 12th. Our next regular scheduled meeting is the 26th.
Oh.
So we have to have it, if we want to do it.
But, I mean, if it's a one-minute thing, we could do it 1 minute before the formal hearing on the 19th, or I don't know what that formal hearing is about even. I can't remember.
Enbridge.
Oh, that's Enbridge. That, those are road ones. But
right. 17th is a holiday. I just, you know, like I said, we don't have to be here. Just available by phone, and we can just call in. And that's my recommendation. Otherwise, we...
I know I won't be here. So...
Are you available by phone?
Yeah. I would be available by phone. Unfortunately, I don't get any place where there's no phone service. Okay. Someday I hope to, however.
I can make it work.
Okay, well, let's schedule that, Patrick, for 5:05 on the 14th.
The 14th of February.
14th of February. And so the only, so we need Daryl, you, and Esther, if you can.
I won't be here, but somebody will fill in.
I was just say, okay, we'll get, and then we'll adjust your work schedule that day. Or someone else's schedule that day.
Yes.
Who does that when you don't do it?
Shelley.
Okay. Okay, that was all that I had. Anybody else? Julie, anything for scheduling that missed? Randy?
You're remembering that that's Valentine's Day?
I am.
Okay. Just didn't want you to get in trouble.
I'm good at that.
I didn't want you getting in trouble. I'm just...
Uh-oh, Mr. Gallion's raising his hand.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to confirm that Tuesday, the 21st, audit, the... I didn't get it on the schedule here, but I did send out the email. I only heard back from Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, you know I'm available because I gave you the time, right?
Yes, we verified that, but I just wanted to make sure that...
No, great catch. So it's Wednesday, try it again, Tuesday the 21st at 3:30. It's the auditor's in brief, and they like to talk to us, so that's...
January.
January, it's next week.
Coming Tuesday.
But we have the...
Not the 21st, we don't.
23rd.
21st.
What time is it, Josh?
3:30.
21st, not 3:30.
How long is that going to take?
They shouldn't take long. They just want to come up, introduce themselves, kind of walk you through what they're going to do, allow you the opportunity to ask any questions. It's kind of more just a kind of a kickoff, the official kickoff. While we've already started pulling stuff for them.
You cool with it? The 3:30?
Yep.
Okay.
They just want to come up and say hi. Yeah, 30 minutes.
I have one more thing for scheduling, but it won't take long. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
21st at 3:30.
Yeah. All right, Randy, what do you got?
S. Baer, the State Board of Ag Research and Education.
Yep.
One of the members called after their recent meeting. Their next meeting is March 5th. I didn't even clarify the time or the place. They would like, though, because of concerns that they've been hearing from people in the ag community about rail service, to have someone from the PSC come and talk to them about rail service on with agriculture.
Julie, I move that Commissioner Christmas attend that meeting.
Second.
Okay. Daryl?
All in favor?
I'll get more information. What I would like to do is, if I'm the one who's going to be doing it, what I would like to do is, if it turns out that it's more detailed, legalistic stuff, have approval to send Ryan or Alana.
Absolutely.
Or if it's something that's more for one of us, then I'll go. But
if it's all fluff, you want to do
this?
It. If it's really substantial, give it to
Randy. If you can't go, Randy, I'll go. We need to be there. I don't think we want to send staff.
But we may need them there.
Absolutely.
If it's legal questions.
Yeah, but no, I think bring staff with it no matter what. But if you can't go, I'll go, because we got to have one of us over there.
Okay.
Randy, can you tell me, what is this again? This is...
Okay. S. Baer, S-B-A-R-E.
State Board of Ag Research and Extension.
Education.
Oh, education.
All right.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, so let's put that on the schedule, though, for the day, just to see how it goes.
Good.
All right, going once, going twice. Staff members, thank you all. We'll close the administrative portion remaining.